A wild, wild West Coast game one. It's party time. Game one, night one, conference finals, bonanza. Next. This episode of the Educated Ignorance Podcast is brought to you by the For Frequency's Sake Podcast Network. With a few reminders, catch a new episode of Card Subject to Change every Sunday night. The Wizard CZ, the Honorable Nick Bull, and the boys all bringing you the action every single Sunday here on the For Frequency's Sake Podcast Network. We have a bunch of new things that we've got going on. We are looking for new people to join us on the network here for the upcoming season. We also brought back our Substack. If you're into writing, Doug Green has been dusting off the old writing fingers to start preparing some great content for the upcoming fantasy football season. So be sure to subscribe or be sure to tune in and check into our weekly newsletter for that on Substack. You can go to our Facebook page, FFSQC for Frequency's Sake, or on Twitter at FFSQC for more details there. Also, as well, you can find some merchandise for us with all of your favorite for Frequency's Sake Podcast Network guys. If you enjoy this podcast or any other of the For Frequency's Sake Podcast Network shows, you can support us by buying our gear. We have t-shirts, hoodies, tees, and raglan tees and stickers. So whether it's For Fantasy's Sake, Educated Ignorance, Card Subject Change, or just the general For Frequency's Sake Podcast Network, we have got you covered. Head on over to forfantasysakeqc.com and click shop to get your gear today. That is forfantasysakeqc.com. And click shop to get your gear today. Coming up on this pod, we're going to break down an acid-filled game one of the Western Conference Finals as the Nuggets survive an insane Laker rally. They're on 21 points at one point. The Lakers and the Nuggets combined to score $160 plus in nearly $160, $158 altogether. So if you are 258, I should say. So if you had under 260, you got burned tonight. We are, of course, live on Facebook and on Twitter. So leave a like or a comment down to join in the discussion and let us know your thoughts on tonight's game. So with all that said, let's kick it off. Night one of our every night bonanza from here through the remainder of the rest of the season. Through the NBA Finals, let's talk some basketball. There are a couple different ways that you can skin this cat. You can look at it as the Nuggets survived or the Lakers lost this game in a multitude of spots. I'm going to try to do my best to go in chronological order here of everything that happened. We're going to start with Jokic's domination. We are then going to get to what the Lakers were doing wrong on the defensive end that allowed them to get absolutely barbecued for the first three quarters, and the adjustment they did make, which allowed them to then slow the pace down and get them back in the game. And then we're going to go over where each team can go from here. Before we do that, I just want to be aware. I think this is an opportunity where you really have to be careful on who you listen to when it comes to stuff and who you pay attention to, who matter. It all depends on who is someone is cheering for to drive the narrative of Lakers feel great with a win with this loss, or Nuggets feel as bad as you can for a win. No, at the end of the day, it's the first 1-4, and the Nuggets have to feel great that they found a way to win. I think there's some positives for the Lakers in this, that they are able to maybe fine tune some stuff. But I think overall, Denver really showed some things in this game. We'll see if that can be sustained. Let's start, of course, with the Nikola Jokic dominance. Now, the way he started the game, what I was really impressed with what he did was his ability to run the floor and to just kind of push the pace by himself. The Lakers did not show great effort early on in the game with getting back on defense, moving bodies, moving the puppies, as we like to say. They did not do a good job of that in the first half, and the Nuggets were running up and down the floor, and Nikola Jokic was grabbing rebounds and running up the floor himself, and they were able to crash the offensive glass. This is something that I was worried about for the Lakers in this series, was when AD gets drawn out, how susceptible will they be to getting just burned on dribble drives or, you know, back cut? The back cuts didn't happen as much in the second half, but Jokic fed on assists in the first half with guys just cutting middle and guys getting beat off the bounce, whether it was on the cuts or just some bad decisions to get picked, or to whether it's picking up a guy full court and then getting burned down the floor or just getting beat off the dribble. The Lakers defense was not great tonight by any means. It was really bad for three quarters before they were able to put the game into the meat grinder there in the fourth quarter. The thing that was a huge thing I was impressed the most with for Denver was their ability to just stay true to their game offensively in order to build their lead. And they hit, you know, their offense is so fluid that once guys hit a couple shots, they were able to really, it felt like they were shooting open looks all night. Once KCP hits one, once Michael Porter hits one or two, once, you know, Bruce Brown came in, and I thought he played really well in the first half, which makes it a bit interesting why he didn't play in the second half, which we will get to in a bit. And again, if you're watching, thank you very much for watching. Leave a like, leave a comment. Let us know your thoughts on this crazy game one between the Lakers and the Nuggets. I think that the majority of what the Nuggets were able to get in the first half was a lot of effort stuff and the offensive rebounding. I mean, they demolished the Lakers on the glass in that first half. There was one point it was 20-3 on the rebounding in the rebounding charts. I think that was the entire first quarter. The Nuggets shot the ball really well, and they rebounded about 80% of their misses, which is just batshit crazy when you really look at it. The rebounding at the end, 47-30, which is still bad. The Lakers out-rebounded the Nuggets in the fourth quarter, 10-7. 15 offensive rebounds for Denver to the Lakers 5. That in itself, just not good enough for the Lakers. They got to do a better job on the defensive glass, and a lot of that was Jokic getting second and third chances early on in the game in the first quarter, and he was dialed in. He was making great plays. He was able to overpower his way inside and make some moves, but Anthony Davis also showed strong. I think this, when you just look at this game through the vacuum of Davis and Jokic, this game was about everything that I had imagined it would be with those two guys. I thought this was an absolute war between what right now is the two best players on the planet when it comes to playing the game of basketball. I was insanely impressed with how AD was able to not allow Jokic to totally kill him when he got 2 feet in the paint. He blocked one of his hook shots. Jokic did a lot of work. He had a solid jump shooting night. They really, what they did offensively was force the Lakers to try to guard screens, and the Lakers couldn't do that, which gets us to our next point, which is another reason the Nuggets were able to build a huge lead, which was the ability to screen the Lakers at will. The Lakers were easily screened tonight in this game, and it was a huge problem. Dennis Schroeder and D'Angelo Russell were really, really bad defensively tonight. They were allowing themselves. They got their asses ate alive in dribble handoff the entire game. Jamal Murray was able to get going. They were able to run some dribble handoff stuff with Bruce Brown and get him downhill and get him going. Michael Porter Jr. was able to run some stuff and hit some shots. But yeah, they were able to just run around, hunt some shots, and they were able to knock them down. That was a very impressive offensive outing, but also some bad, I don't know, mainly effort, but also some schematics defensively for the Lakers. I think the Lakers guards need to do a better job defensively of either switching or being harder to screen. And I think in this game, the Nuggets also did a good job of hitting their shots, whether it was the Lakers trying to lock and trail to go around screens to top lock and force guys to come up after the handoff. It was just some stuff they really allowed. The Nuggets did a good job of hitting some shots in the handoffs in the screen game that the Lakers weren't able to cover well. On the offensive end for the Lakers, they were able to just keep this game close until they were able to make a bit of a frantic run in the fourth, because their offense itself was really, really good. Anthony Davis, as we stated, he was amazing tonight. 40 points, 10 rebounds, 14 to 23 from the floor. I thought he was amazing. I thought he was consistently throughout the game, the best player in this game. Jokic through three quarters was brilliant. And we're going to get to the part of the game, which, man, that, I mean, to some game changing moments in this game, off a couple shots, but I thought Davis was incredible. I thought he did a good job. You know, he's never going to be a guy that gets back to basket and goes and just puts his shoulder through a guy to lay the ball in. But what he is going to be is very effective with his little short push game. And tonight it was falling. And he also hit a three, which was hilarious. He rarely steps out and shoots those anymore. If he can consistently be good with that, then this offense, not, I mean, 40 points is going to be tough to match, but he can have this type of efficient offensive performance. But I think this is an offensive performance that is very duplicable for the Lakers with, if you can have, I thought Rui Hachimura was amazing tonight. This is definitely a series for him. We'll get more into him and how the Lakers were able to come back here in a little bit. I think they're going to just have to go with size. You know, two guards, two wings, and Davis. I think that's going to have to be the, I think that's going to, and then, or if Davis is on the off, you're going to have to sacrifice all of your shooting and run LeBron, Schroeder, and Rui. I think that's just going to have to be the matchup, and then make Denver adjust from there, because I just don't see the Lakers having enough offensively or defensively. I know it's you're putting more size on the floor, so it doesn't sound like you're upgrading on the defensive end, but they don't have the defensive capability with Schroeder and Russell on the floor. Russell tonight was fucking horrendous. Minus 25 in this game. Plus minus isn't the end all be all of stats, but he was absolutely abysmal in this game tonight. Obviously, he didn't come in during that big run in the fourth quarter because they went with a kind of a supersized lineup with Rui, LeBron, and Davis on the floor. I think that has to be your go-to lineup in this series. Has to have three of those five on the floor. Then you can have Reeves and either Schroeder or Walker as the fifth guy. That has to be kind of your five-man rotation when it gets to nut crunching time, because I thought the Lakers outplayed the Nuggets for the majority of that final 6 or 7 minutes once they started to get it close. Then now it'll come up to the Nuggets to whether they can make adjustments. But for the Lakers offense, it was a lot of switching. We saw them get into their entire offensive game plan here tonight was pick and roll matchup hunting. They made Jamal Murray work. Now credit Jamal Murray. He was awesome on offense, set 12 of 20. He had 31 points. He had some big time shots, which we're going to get to one of the biggest, probably the biggest swing moment of the game. When you think about the final score, the 12 of 20, he had some huge fucking shots. And Michael Porter Jr. I thought was pretty good as well. He had 15 on 6 of 12. Bruce Brown, it's surprising that he didn't play much in the second half. and we're going to get to some more stuff here in a second with him, mainly for some lineup data stuff. So I think he's going to be a guy we see more of here in this series. But overall, I thought, you know, let's talk about that third quarter where the Lakers offense really got humming. They were getting any shot they want. Again, Hachimura was playing well. Davis and LeBron, Davis especially, was getting everything he wanted. I thought the Lakers offense played good enough, obviously, to win. This is an offense that has been middle of the pack in the playoffs with their rating and their scoring. They had fucking 90, what was it? They scored like 38 in the fourth quarter, 35, 34 in the fourth quarter. They had 91 points at the end of three. I mean, you'll take that every time. Or 92 points at the end of three quarters. You'll take that, and you'll usually feel like you're winning. They just got barbecued in the first half on defense, and they dug themselves way too big of a hole in order to come back. But they had their moments. But the end of the third quarter, they get it to – so there's a bit of a weird stretch to end the third where the Lakers all of a sudden have a bit of a run. It was 101-81, and then the Lakers go on a little bit of a run here. They have Rui hitting a two. Jokic has a turnover. Davis makes a pull-up jumper. They cut it. Then he hits a – or it's a fadeaway with the and one. That 5-point stretch cuts it to 15. Jokic hits a little 11-footer. Rui drives and gets a layup. Reeves hits two free throws. It's down to 13. Davis makes it two free throws. It's down to 11. So they go on a nice little 11-2 run, and then Jokic hits the 20. He hits a 30-foot step-back three with AD draped on him like a goddamn quilt that your nana gave you. I mean, it was silly. It was a hell of a shot by Jokic. I mean, tip of the cap. That was just batshit crazy that he hit that shot. And again, Davis was draped all over him, and that made it a 14-point game. And then to start the fourth, LeBron makes a layup and one to cut it back to 11. And then Jamal Murray hits that bullshit shot with LeBron all over him. So that's 5 points there off two pretty gnarly shots, which if those don't go in, who knows, right? I hate to play that math game, but I put a tweet out that said the Nuggets hit three straight shots that were hilarious. It was the Jokic shot to end the third, the Murray shot to hit the fourth, to start the fourth, and then Michael Porter Jr. hit a step-back corner three that was – he was buried almost behind the backboard, and he hit it with Reeves on him. I mean, hey, man, credit to them. But that's when the Lakers started to make their run. They got it all the way down to three at one point. Reeves – and what they were able to do was – the biggest adjustment was they went to that big lineup. They ended up they had a moment where they had Lonnie Walker out there, but then they brought Dennis Schroeder in midway through the fourth. So their guards were Schroeder and Reeves, and then they went with Rui, LeBron, and AD. And defensively, they put AD on Aaron Gordon, and they let Rui guard Jokic. Now, I thought this was a bad idea. I thought you really don't want to give this up. But Gordon, for some reason, continuously sat. He didn't sit outside. Now, the Lakers were planning on giving this shot up anyway, but Gordon was kind of sitting in the dunker spot almost each time they tried to get Jokic involved in the mid post, and AD was able to just kind of play rover, and the Lakers were able to get stops. They mucked the game up. They went on a run. They got it down to 1 point to three. They slowed the game down, and they started getting the line finally. I think they ended up, 26 for 23 or 23 for 26 from the line tonight. They didn't really get to the line much in the first three quarters, but in the fourth quarter, they were finally able to get to the stripe. They were slowing the game down, getting stops. The Nuggets were fouling on rebounding. They were fouling in the half court. Lakers were with how much they were driving, of course, too, they were drawing fouls. They had a lot of and ones in this game. They didn't shoot well from three, really, 11 for 24. But 23 for 26 from the line. Nuggets were 17 to 22, so free throw disparity wasn't bad at all. But I thought this game was really well officiated outside of a couple things, but it was fine. But, yeah, the Lakers were able to muck the game up. They were able to get to the free throw line. They got fouled in the half court, and they started scoring. I think they scored six straight points from the line, and then they had the pick and pop with Murray and Gordon got kerfuffled up top. LeBron throws the dart to Reeves on the wing, hits the three. They got it down to three at 124-121. They then get a stop, and then the craziest possession of the game, there was a jump, a little runner or like an off-balance shot by LeBron about 10 feet away on the left block. He missed it short. Davis couldn't grab the board. It got knocked out of his hands. He then tried to grab it again. It bounced and tip it up. It went off the bottom of the rim. And then him and Jokic were scrapping for it. Then Porter and somebody was scrapping for it, and Porter ripped it out. I thought Davis fell on him. I thought there should have been a jump ball, but they were able to get it out. KCP came out with it. He threw it up to Jamal Murray, who throws the fuck it YOLO lob to Aaron Gordon. Sick-ass play. And that's just what the Nuggets can do. They're so fucking high powered. They get out and run like that. And that wasn't the game, because the Lakers, I think, got it back to three. But that was just a huge moment, really, where the Lakers could have cut it to one. And if the Nuggets lose this game, it's like, what the fuck? But the Nuggets survive. They hold on. They were able to get some stops. Now, it was 126-123. Lakers got a stop. And LeBron does shoot a bad three. They come down and they don't even run any action. They get Murray cross-matched, and LeBron shot the three with Murray on him. I didn't like it. I really didn't, because there's 50 seconds left, 45 seconds left. But hey, I mean, we're not going to argue the resume, I guess. Not a good decision by our boy, but you got to live with it. The fact that they were even in the game was mind-boggling to me. I know all of the hot take shows tomorrow we're going to talk about that shot. It was 129-126. Was that what it was? Yeah, and he, with 45 seconds left, he pulled that 27-footer. Not a good shot. Was not a good shot. They got away with helping one pass away. KCP missed the three, and I thought it was just rushed. You know, get it back, come down, get it to one. Make the Nuggets play half-court offense, which they struggled to do the entire fourth quarter. I'm really stunned that LeBron took that shot in that moment. But he went for the kill shot, which wouldn't have been a kill shot because it would have tied the game. Just a little surprised that that was the decision that he wanted there with that opportunity late in the game. And the Nuggets are able to hold on and survive. Okay, so let's talk about some adjustments that I'm going to be interested to see. I'm going to be interested to see how I'm going to be interested to see how many three-guard lineups the Lakers use in this series. And I think they can't really get away with it. So I think you're going to have, even with Vanderbilt out there, who I thought Vanderbilt gave you some solid minutes tonight. This is a series where, even though the Lakers can sacrifice shooting, they're going to be able to get inside. Even with Vanderbilt out there, have him rim run. They even had moments. Dan, but I cannot stress how fucking bonkers, hilariously bad D'Angelo Russell was tonight. Like, I could just go pick out every possession that he touched the ball in and find something he did wrong. There were multiple times where he had put back cutters to slip to get into the middle of the defense, and he just doesn't throw them the ball. There was a possession in the third quarter where the Nuggets haven't missed a shot in a fucking month, and D'Lo just comes down one on three and just burps up a fadeaway. That's a fucking turnover, man. Like that, I'm glad. The one thing I love is that Darvin will bench D'Angelo when he does that bullshit. Because listen, I will give full credit that D'Angelo Russell has had some bangers in the playoffs, but he was on his bullshit tonight, and not in a good way. He was fucking terrible for the Lakers. I cannot stress enough how fucking bad D'Angelo Russell was. It's not why they lost, but Jesus, man, he was so fucking bad. I think I think that let me see here. I think I mentioned the ability for the Lakers to not shoot those or to not play or to not have the spacing out there in the shooting, I think can be fine because I think there's just opportunities there, whether it's stuff to get easy cuts and easy rim runs. We saw it all night long, like Rui Hachimura, who I thought was great. And again, I think we're going to see a lot of him in this series. Like Rui just one time randomly, LeBron's up top going pick and roll, and Rui just fucking runs to the rim baseline, and it even took a second before they threw it to him. So like you have moments like that, you could put Vanderbilt out there or just use Vanderbilt as a screener because you what they're going to probably do is have the worst defender or Jokic guard Vanderbilt so they don't have to do anything. So you just make Vanderbilt be the screener in the action, get him involved, he can then run to the rim. Like, it's just a plethora of options that you can do. So I think Vanderbilt could be useful in the series, especially, too, on the defensive end. I think then you can have him out there guarding Murray in moments, which will be huge for the Lakers. I did not expect the Rui on Jokic stuff defensively to work in the fourth. Darvin Ham obviously was just looking for anything to work in that fourth quarter. I won't be shocked if he comes out and starts. I think he might want to keep Hachimura come off the bench maybe as a scoring potent option, but I won't be shocked if he goes D'Lo. Maybe he, I don't know if he benched, I don't know if he just straight up benched D'Lo, but I think he'll keep starting him because he has shown he's not afraid to bench him in tight minutes. But man, if you run this lineup, then Schroeder can't be out there guarding Murray. So maybe you go Schroeder, Reeves, Vanderbilt, LeBron, AD, maybe, and you have Vanderbilt start on Jokic, and then you force, Mike Malone, which this is where the adjustment comes in for them. I'm really shocked that they did when their offense really got put in the chamber in that fourth quarter. I'm really stunned that they didn't have Bruce Brown come into the game. He was awesome. Excellent in the first three quarters. I love him as a player. I think he's perfect, especially for a team like this Nuggets group, just to be a role, the ability to know his role and to do the things the right way. He can knock down some shots. He attacks, he guards, he does everything. But in a series, like it is the Lakers trying to force the hand of the Nuggets where it's kind of a staring contest where it's like, you're going to sacrifice this. When are you going to give up this size? It's like you're giving up size for spacing. So the Lakers are basically forcing them to take Aaron Gordon off the floor and put out a guy like Bruce Brown, they had Jeff Green out there to start the third, but even still, like, he can shoot, but you almost live with him taking those, even though he buried one in the fourth. But so that's going to be the interesting part. You would obviously think it was Brown. So if they go Brown out there and they go pretty much four guards to a degree, I know Porter's a wing, but three guards, a wing, and Jokic, that's where you offensively, you kind of open things back up for yourself. But defensively is where you're even more able to get hunted. Because again, Brown's a good defender, but man, the Lakers were able to get inside and just dominate. They were, and then they finally started racking up fouls in the fourth quarter and getting to the free throw line. So I can understand the math there, but that's where the adjustments have to come, and we'll see on Thursday night. Series isn't over by any means. That was a fun-ass game. I was wondering in that fourth quarter, like, man, I'm very impressed at the Nuggets all playoffs for their ability to just keep teams at arm's length. You know, we saw it in game three against Minnesota. We saw it in game one against Phoenix before they blew their doors off. And we saw it in game five against Phoenix as well. They just keep teams to a fair enough arm's length to when all of a sudden when it matters, they can turn it on. They kept the Lakers at arm's length tonight, even though, so like they get out to the big lead, Then all of a sudden the Lakers come back, and then it just kind of stayed at 10 to 15 points or 16 points for what felt like two quarters. And then the Lakers were able to get to the line and they were able to hit a couple shots. Mainly they were able to string a bunch of stops together. That was the main thing. If the Lakers just defensively effort-wise are better on Thursday, that'll go a long way in order for them to pick up a win. For the Nuggets, I'm going to be interested to see, like I said, what kind of adjustment they do to the Lakers kind of upsizing, the supersize me lineup to a degree with Hachimura in there, because I think that's going to be something they try to utilize a lot. The one thing that I would feel bad for as a Lakers fan is that you kind of burnt the elite Anthony Davis offensive game, because sometimes those little 5 foot to 8 foot shots can be unkind. But if he can hit those, listen, he went on to that jump shooting bonanza in the bubble, which helped them win, and he torched the Nuggets last time they played. I know these two teams are insanely different compared to the bubble, but he torched the Nuggets with jump shooting in 2020. So if he can torch them with those little push shots where there's not much pressure at all, then he won't score 40 every night. But again, he can be around 27 to 30 by if he can stay marginally efficient on those. So yeah, I think this, I would be shocked if game two is as high scoring, because I do think the Lakers' defensive effort is going to be much, much better. But the Nuggets, if they're able to make the correct adjustments and outfox the Lakers there, then that's where they're going to be able to go ahead and win. So this series is fascinating. Again, I think it's going to be a war throughout six or seven games, regardless. Unless, you know, the Nuggets could win quick, I think. But we'll see. You know, we'll see which legs get choppier the majority of the series goes along. I think the Lakers will win game two. I think they'll make the adjustments, and I think that they will be able to – I think they'll cut out – I think they're just overall effort and attention to detail on the defensive end will be better on Thursday, and I think that will lead them to a win. But again, I love this Nugget. I love both of these teams. This Nuggets team is amazing, and I'm excited to see where we get on Thursday. All right, that's going to do it for tonight. We will be back tomorrow night for game one of Celtics Heat. I mean, I doubt that we're going to get 260 points tomorrow, but if we get anything remotely as entertaining as this one was tonight in some way, shape, or form, then we will be in for a doozy tomorrow night in Boston for game one of Miami and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. All right, this has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast. My name is Joe Winkle. Remember, if you ain't got your game, you best pass the sticks. We will see you guys tomorrow night right after the final horn here on Twitter and all those fun things. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you very much for watching or listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. We're out. Peace.